Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. We begin our service in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The text I've taken for today is from the one-year lectionary, which is about the transfiguration of our Lord. This is also the third Sunday of Epiphany. And we remember that the day of Epiphany was and is the 6th of January. And Epiphany means the revelation or manifestation. We had on the day of Epiphany, which was on a Thursday, I believe, on the 6th of January, was about the wise men that come to see Jesus as an infant, and how that they followed that star to Bethlehem. And they found Jesus there, lying in a manger. We know those three wise men, they were Gentiles that come to see Jesus. Then we had the first Sunday of Epiphany, which was the baptism of Jesus Christ. And how it was when he was baptized. First of all, John was baptizing unto repentance in the wilderness. And all those from Judea and Jerusalem came unto him to be baptized. John was the one that prepared the way for the Lord. He prepared the hearts of the people for Jesus when he came. We know that when Jesus was baptized there, that the heavens opened. And some say the translation of the original language says that they were tore open, as it was on the day of his crucifixion, when the veil of the temple was ripped from the top to the bottom. But here at Jesus' baptism, the heavens were open and the dove descended, the Holy Spirit descended like a dove on his head. And then the God from heaven spoke, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And here on the Transfiguration, the Mount of Transfiguration, again we'll see that the Father from heaven speaks the same words. "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." And all that we would be at the season of Epiphany, that we would be empathized, that we would have that word revealed into our hearts, and Jesus would be manifest unto us. So our text this morning, I'm going to read the epistle text and also the gospel text for this Sunday according to the 1 year. And the epistle text is 2 Peter, the first chapter. We'll be reading from the 16th to the 21st verse. And we read in Jesus' name as follows. That's 2 Peter First chapter, 16th verse through the 21st. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well to take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until a day dawn, and the day star arises in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecies came not in old times by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now we'll turn to the gospel text for this Sunday, which is found in Matthew. The 17th chapter. We'll read the first 9 verses thereof, and again, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elijah talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud, which said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, "Arise and be not afraid." And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. And as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, "Tell the vision to no man until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead." Amen. O Father, we pray again that you would speak to each one of our hearts this morning, that you would give us ears to hear and hearts to receive your word this morning. Amen. We'll begin with the gospel text, maybe touch on the epistle text some. But as we begin this gospel text in the 17th chapter, it begins with, "And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart." So this text begins with "and." So we need to look into the chapter previously to see how it begins. And we see in this 16th chapter In the 13th verse of the 16th chapter begins that when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." Here we see Jesus asked them, "Who do these people say that I am?" And so they respond in these different prophets, John the Baptist, Elijah, or Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. This is what the people thought of Jesus, of who he was. They thought of him as one of the prophets. But then Jesus goes on and he says, saith unto him, "But whom say ye that I am?" Here Jesus asks his disciples, that's what other people say, but who do you say that I am? And Peter, you know how Peter is. He's the bold one, always the one to speak out. Sometimes he gets in trouble for speaking out, but Peter here speaks out, answers and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." What a confession. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. What a revelation, what an epiphany that Peter had there. And oh, that that would be ours this morning, that we could confess that this Jesus, he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then Jesus answers and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee, but my Father in heaven. This could not be a revelation of his own, by his own flesh, but this revelation had to come from the Father in heaven. And the same with us today. The revelation does not come by our own, but it comes to us, and it even comes to us this morning from God in heaven. And then he goes on, "I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon the rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." This is a confession of Peter that the church is built on. This rock, we sang about that rock this morning. "And the gates of hell shall not prevail against this." This epiphany of Peter, that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God. But as we go on, we see Peter gets in trouble. Right after he makes his confession and Christ tells him, "On this rock, this is what I'm going to build my church on." In the 21st verse, he begins to tell his disciples what would happen to him, how he must suffer and die and rise again the third day. So Jesus tells them, "From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised again on the third day." This is what Jesus told his disciples, that he must go through shortly, that he was going to be brought before the elders and the chief priests, that he would be condemned, and he would go to the cross. What does Peter say? "Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, 'Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee.'" Imagine that. Peter, a fisherman, tells the Creator, God Himself, the one that divided the waters and created life. Can you imagine that? But Peter wanted to have a different Christ, one that would not go to the cross. He wanted a Christ that free him from the Romans, that would reign there, establish a kingdom on earth and reign. What does Jesus say to him? But he turned and said unto Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, and thou savorest not the things to be of God, but those to be of men." Quite a deal here, you know. Just moments earlier, Christ said, "Peter, you are the rock. I'm going to build my church on you, or on this confession." And then what happens here? When this fisherman tries to tell Jesus how things should be, how he wants things to be. Sometimes we also create a God that we like, one that fits our needs. The one that makes us feel good. But who is this Jesus of the Bible? Is he the same Jesus that we have? Or we created another Jesus that fits our needs? Easy to do, huh? He tells his disciples that if any man come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. And that's instructions for us this morning, that we would take up that cross. This life has a lot of suffering, you know. And that's a cross that we have to bear. But Jesus tells us, take up your cross and follow me. Then Jesus, at the beginning of our text, as we read, that this was only 6 days afterwards. What does Jesus do? He chooses Peter and James and John, the sons of thunder. The ones that were bold and aggressive like Peter. He selects Peter, James, and John to go to this holy mountain, to this Mount of Transfiguration with him. Amazing, huh? Another place that comes to mind is how God is. When he told, you know, Peter says, "I'll go unto death for you." And Jesus answers and said, before the cock crows three times, you'll deny me three times. And one of the Gospels, it says right after that, but let not your heart be troubled. I go to prepare a place for you. And he talks about the many mansions that are there. And if it wasn't so, I wouldn't have told you. So he has went to prepare a place for you and I also. In that place where there's many mansions. That's a promise. He has gone to prepare a place for you and for all those that are his children, that believe on him. So he takes these three, these bold, aggressive ones of his disciples, and he's taken them before. But he brings them up onto a high mountain. There, it says, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment white as light. Here Jesus shows his holiness, his glory, there before them. As his face shines as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. Can you imagine that? That Peter and James and John were able to see that glorified Christ on that holy mountain where he was transfigured. But we today are transfigured also. We are transfigured by his word and his sacraments. When we partake of his body and blood, that bread and wine becomes transformed or transfigured for us, and we eat of him, and we are also transfigured. And behold, there appeared unto him Moses and Elijah talking with him. Here we have Jesus, but also we have Moses and Elijah, the great prophets of the Old Testament that God spoke to, and they spoke unto the people. We have Moses, who went up on another high mountain where he received the law and spoke unto God. And as we remember how his face shined when he come down out of the mountain, the glory of God was upon him. He had to cover his face with a veil when he went to speak unto the people. What do you suppose they were talking about? Do you know what they were talking about? Well, it tells us in the Gospel of Luke in the 9th chapter, it tells us what they were talking about. Let us read just the account that Luke has here. It's a little bit different, adds a few things, but Luke, the 9th chapter and 28th verse. And it came to pass about the 8th day after these sayings, he took Peter and John and James and went up into the mountain to pray. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistering. And behold, there were two There talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory to speak of his decease. They come to speak of that death that he would have on the cross, that price that would be paid for you and I for our salvation, for our redemption. This is what Moses and Elijah were talking to him about, what he would go through. They were not sad, Moses and Elijah. They rejoiced in that day that Jesus was going to go there and pay the price also for them, for the whole world. They spake of his decease or his death, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. That death, the resurrection, and his ascension into heaven again. They foretold about Jesus, Moses and Elijah. Now they come and speak unto him. Pretty amazing that they were able to see that vision. Here it talks about that Peter and they that were with him were heavy asleep, which it don't tell us in Matthew. You know how it is with them. Many times they fell asleep, you know. We remember the garden, how they couldn't stay awake. They were heavy with sleep, and when they awake, they saw his glory and the two men that stood with him. Then Peter, you know, he has a wise idea again. He knows more than the Creator, you know. So what does Peter say? Peter then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah. He had a good idea, huh? This way he wouldn't have to go back, you know. He wouldn't have to go through what Jesus told him. He'd keep Jesus there and they'd all be happy there on the mountaintop. And he didn't want to see Jesus go to the cross. But he wanted to have these three tabernacles here on the mountain. He was going to give one to Moses, one to Elijah, and one to Jesus. He thought that would be great. But then, instead of getting rebuke from Jesus, what happens? He gets a rebuke from God the Father in heaven. While he spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. So here he has a slight rebuke of Peter. Hear what Jesus has to say. Not your way, but it's Jesus' way. And it must be done to fulfill the wrath of God. He must go to the cross. And oh, it was good that he went to the cross for us, huh? We don't want to look at that cross too much. Shows us that there's a reason for him to go. It's because of our sin. We got to recognize that we needed a Savior because we are sinners. but he went to that cross. He became sin who knew no sin for our sake. What a blessed thing that is. Nobody made him go there. He freely went to that cross. And he gave his life. Nobody took his life. He gave his life for you and I. That this morning we could believe on what was accomplished on that center cross of Calvary. That we could believe that all our sins are forgiven because of what Christ did on that center cross. That he shed his blood to the last drop. And through his name, each one of us can believe that our sins are forgiven this morning. Oh, what a blessing that is. That we have this gospel message that we can share. That we can believe that our sins are forgiven because of what Christ has done. What he done on the cross was sufficient for all our sins, no matter what they are. Dear friends, can you believe that this morning? That what he done on the cross was sufficient for all your sins, past, present, and future. He died once for all. He was the ultimate sacrifice for our sins. Like John at Jesus' baptism, he pointed the people to Jesus. Luther says he was the finger. He was that finger that pointed to Jesus. He said, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world." And that's who we point to today. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. When they that dark cloud or that light, that cloud overshadowed them, bright cloud overshadowed them, and God the Father spoke from heaven, they were afraid and they fell on their face. And Jesus came and touched them and said, "Arise and be not afraid." And they lifted up their eyes and they saw no man save Jesus only. When they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, "Tell the vision to no man until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead." Let's turn briefly to the 2 Peter, first chapter. This is what I've studied was maybe 30 years later when Peter wrote this. He was at the end of his life, as he says in the first part of this chapter. In the 15th verse, he says, "Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able after my decease to have these things always in your remembrance." All the things that he had taught. And early in the chapter, he talks about how that we should add to our faith all these things. Not for salvation, but because we are saved. It's through that divine power that he has given us, not of our own. But here Peter says in the 16th verse, "For we have not followed kindly devised fables, when we make known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Christ, but we are eyewitnesses of his majesty." Here Peter says, it's not just some myth, it's not some story, totally different. He was eyewitness to the majesty. Then he goes on, he says, for he had received from God the Father honor and glory, when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well to take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn, and the day star arises in your heart, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old times by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So here, Peter tells him many years later that he was an eyewitness of the glory of God. There's a lot of religions that have their own prophecies. There's ones that have spoken to angels, and you have the Mormons, you have the Buddhists, you have the Muslims. You have Muhammad that was in a cave or whatever. Joseph Smith was given this new revelation. Well, there isn't no new revelation. They're wrong. But it didn't come by the will of man, but holy men spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Oh, we thank God that Jesus fulfilled that work on the cross for you and I. That what he did on the cross was sufficient. And oh, that we would have that peace of God in our hearts, and that we would have that hope of salvation. Clark spoke about peace of God when he first got up here. And it's a real blessing to have that peace of God. Oh, that we could rejoice that we have that peace of God. Paul, in all his letters, he brings that greeting at the first part of his letter, "Grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ." These are greetings for us from heaven today. As if the Father was speaking to us when he says grace to you and peace. That's what he says to you today. Grace and peace from God the Father. That's where it comes from. And the Lord Jesus Christ. May we all have that peace this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us close in prayer and benediction. Oh, Father in heaven, we Thank you for your word this morning. Oh, that you would reveal yourself unto each one of us. And oh, that we would have that peace and hope of salvation that only comes through what Jesus done on the cross. And oh, Father, we pray that you would continue to be with us in this small congregation here in Mesa. That you would continually feed us from your word. And that all the words that were spoken from this place would be in spirit and truth. As you told the woman at the well, that's what God desires, that we would worship him in spirit and in truth. Oh, Father, continue to be with us as we journey here on the earth. And we do thank you for all the many blessings you have so abundantly blessed us with. But most of all, Lord, we thank you for the great salvation that is found in your Son, Jesus. Amen. Now let us receive the blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you everlasting peace. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.